Luther thinks, ironically, that when you focus on getting rid of these external things, you become captive to the external things. Although in the opposite way from Catholicism. Catholicism requires these external things. Karlstadt wants to abolish them. And here's these poor people with their weak consciences in the middle, right? If they do the Catholic thing, then Karlstadt says they're committing mortal sin, right? If they receive communion in only one kind. On the other hand, if they abolish the Catholic thing, well, then the priests and the bishops are saying that this is terrible sin. And Luther wants to say, let's take a middle course. Let's not be too Catholic. Let's not be too Protestant either. Let's not require all these external ceremonies, and let's not make a big deal out of abolishing them. Either way, you become captive to the external. Karlstadt's captivity to this external principle of getting rid of the external is what was one of the first examples of what we can call the Puritan principle, which was very important in the Puritan churches in England a century later, where the idea was to purify the worship of the church, make it strictly biblical so that anything that wasn't in the Bible was off limits, right? So if it's not in the Bible, it's forbidden. And that's what a pure reformation of the church should be, said the Puritans. Luther is not a Puritan. He thinks that if it's not in the Bible, but it's not prohibited by the Bible, then it's free, right? Christian freedom is the crucial term here. It's free. It's what later Protestants will call indifferent, adiaphron in Greek. Indifferent because it makes no ultimate difference to your salvation. So you can take it or leave it. You don't have to get rid of crucifixes, images in the church. Whereas if you go to a Puritan church, you've got no crucifix. You might have a cross, but there's no body on that cross. There's no stained glass windows, the walls are whitewashed, and so on. So what we have here in the conflict between Luther and Karlstadt is a precursor of a very deep division in Protestantism between, for instance, the Puritans and the Anglicans, or the Episcopalians in the United States, who are more where Luther is, closer to the Catholic view, less uncomfortable with external things. But also now, because external things were something that Karlstadt wanted to get rid of, there's a connection in the early 1520s between an emphasis on the spirit and violence. When Luther was holed up in the Wartburg there in that castle, and he couldn't get to Wittenberg, and Karlstadt was more or less leading the Reformation in Wittenberg for a few months in 1521 and 1522, there was violence. There were riots. Karlstadt didn't lead the violence, but he was an impatient man, and he was pushing things on too far, too fast, Luther thought. And then people wanted to go faster yet. There was a hot-headed monk who led a bunch of monks in an altar-destroying party. Right? They went into the church, and they ripped up, destroyed the altars, they destroyed images, they defaced statues, things like that. And they intimidated people. They wanted the Reformation to go faster, make it more spiritual. Luther insisted, and this became characteristic of the Lutheran Reformation, that if you're going to use force at all, it's going to be used only by the prince, the legitimate authority. Sometimes the prince may have to use some kind of coercion to make recalcitrant priests and bishops do their job. The prince himself becomes a kind of emergency bishop. But only the prince is allowed to use violence. Only the legitimate authority may be violent. That's how you eventually get to the territorial churches of the Lutheran Reformation, this principle that I mentioned before of cuius regio, eius religio. Whoever's region it is, it's their religion. Because the prince's job is to enforce the Reformation, not anybody else's job. But that is still taking shape in the early 1520s. And there are reasons why Luther ends up being much happier working with the princes than with these more spiritual folks. While Luther is still at the Wartburg, not being able to run and guide the Wittenberg Reformation right there on the spot, there appears in Wittenberg three men called the Zwickau Prophets. That's actually Luther's designation for them. They're prophets in the sense that they appeal to the Spirit. They say the Spirit spoke to them direct in their heart, not through the Bible. So there's that spiritualist emphasis again. They were prophesizing the destruction of the wicked. Right? The Turk is coming, the evil folks are going to be destroyed, the end times are coming, and they were condemning infant baptism. Now, there's a potent combination which we'll have to look at. They were emphasizing the spirit rather than the word. They were prophesying destruction and violence, and they were getting rid of infant baptism. And we'll see why infant baptism is such an important connection.